This ad is almost 3 million gallons long because it's exactly the same amount of time it takes for that much water to flow over the deck at Niagara Falls. So how does the deck stand up to all that water? Thompson's Water Seal. Just another reason they call us America's recognized brand in water protection. Weather protected, water sealed. Thompson's Water Seal. Trust the seal. Available at a retailer near you.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang and Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute to comment on the news in these last hours. This is the AP writing from Moscow. Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese leader Xi Jinping held a video call to discuss bilateral relations and international affairs, a summit that comes amid heightened tensions between Moscow and the West over a Russian troop buildup near Ukraine's borders. I go to London, the Financial Times reporting the same story. Russian President Vladimir Putin, this is Dateline, Singapore and Moscow, sought to present a united front with Xi Jinping as the Kremlin said the Chinese leader supported Moscow's demands for security guarantees that would limit Western influence in its backyard. In remarks shown by Russian state television at the start of their 90-minute video call, Putin told his, quote, dear friend, Xi, that, quote, a new model of cooperation between our countries has formed on principles such as non-interference in internal affairs and respecting each other's interests. Charles, a very good evening to you. This is all the language of diplomacy. So not to translate it, but to frame it. What is the atmosphere? Does Putin need Xi? Does Xi need Putin? Do they need each other given their troubles? Good evening to you, Charles.
Good evening. Well, I clearly they're rattled by the idea of the West getting into a more serious and meaningful collaboration to counter Russia and China's gross violations of the norms of diplomacy and trade, as, you know, as was defined after the Second World War. And, maybe part of this is sort of to send a message to the world that if, in fact, you continue to collaborate with the United States in effective measures to challenge Russia and China's various schemes, that, you know, that will end up badly and we'll have a genuine hot war. The other aspect is that Russia and China both want something. Russia wants Ukraine, China wants Taiwan. Whether there could be collaboration between the two to do something simultaneously or in support of each other is a fairly horrifying prospect that none of us want to see. But, you know, traditionally, Russia and China, while they have, obviously, they have reasons to ally, have long been suspicious of each other. You know, both have ambitions to dominate much more than their own national territory, and hostility dating back from, you know, Stalin's insult to Mao in Moscow in the 50s when he kept him waiting, cooling his heels to demonstrate that the Soviets are really the future of communism, and subsequently, you know, border disputes in the late 60s, and I think an inability to make the Shanghai Cooperation Organization the sort of effective challenge to Western democracy and the U.S. alliance that they may have hoped. So I'm very worried about this development. And I don't think that there's a lot of honor among thieves with regard to Russia and China. So I don't see it working out smoothly in any direction.
Gordon, I read a quote that Moscow and Singapore are giving us in the FT from Xi Jinping. Certain international forces are interfering in the internal affairs of China and Russia and trampling on international law and recognized norms of international relations. Why is Xi doing this now, Gordon? Why is he being provocative? How does this help him given the trouble at home with the economy?
I think there are a number of reasons. First of all, as a technical matter, you had President Biden talk to Xi Jinping in that virtual summit last month. And then last week, Biden and Putin talked over the phone or virtual meeting. And so I think that the Chinese leader wanted to catch up with Putin. And so he had to do that soon after Biden's talks. But the other thing, of course, is that Xi Jinping faces innumerable challenges at home. And it would be great for him if he could divert the intentions of the political lead in Beijing to a foreign enemy. And what better foreign enemy than the United States?
You have a question for Charles, Gordon.
Charles, I understand that the Chinese and the Russians don't get along in general. And I understand that they probably abhor each other. And they do have some interests which conflict, including territory. But I've always thought that what's important is not the long-term antagonism, but the here and now. And in the here and now, we do have Moscow and Beijing coordinating not only their foreign policies, but they've also been coordinating their militaries. So this seems to me to be increasingly dangerous. How do you look at all of these conflicting views and thoughts?
I absolutely agree it's increasingly dangerous. And I do think that the West is bringing Russia and China together in ways that they were not together before. And so from that point of view, you know, one may see some coordination and alliance, but ultimately Russia and China are competing for allegiance in countries in, you know, the stands, Western Asia and in general all around the world. Russia wants to restore the Soviet Empire. China wants to become, through its community of the common destiny of mankind and Belt and Road Initiative, the dominant power on the planet to which all the rest of us will be subordinate. And so those two long-term goals don't sync very well. But in the short term, I think they are, as you say, running scared that the West may finally lead to the collapse of both of those regimes, if we're able to successfully bring about a democratic transmission in one, then the other will be very isolated. And so I think from that point of view, one can see why they would be, you know, biting their tongues and playing nice with each other and coordinating to try and stave off the advance of America and the like-minded nations that are increasingly allied with the United States.
I note, Gordon, that Mr. Putin is an old friend, said Xi. Old friend, isn't that the same terminology that Mr. Xi used when he spoke with President Biden, old friend? Old friend, what does that mean, Gordon? Does that mean something deceptive, or is it just that Xi is using the same script again?
With regard to Biden, I think, as people have said, Xi Jinping was trolling the American president. When it comes to Putin, I think that these guys really do cooperate quite a lot. They need each other. And so especially these days. So I think that they're being serious when they say old friend between Putin and Xi Jinping.
Charles, the question I have about this meeting, now that they've established that they have mutual interests, they don't want interference in their internal affairs and they don't want interference in their external affairs. Is there another step that you can see them making, given their expression of aggression throughout the globe, China and India, Russia and Ukraine? Is there an escalation level here?
Well, I suppose there, you know, if there was some sort of notion of, you know, you can have your part of the world and we'll have ours, that there might be some possibility of collaboration. I think it might play out a lot like Orwell's 1984, though, you know, shifting alliances and changes. I would just make one comment on the friendship thing. You know, in the Chinese language, friendship is not the same sort of emotional relationship that exists in the West. It's really about a mutually beneficial relationship. So friendship is not that close. It's a matter of we can work together. You know, China and North Korea never refer to each other as friends. They refer to each other as, you know, closer than lips and teeth or comrades. But friendship is a limited concept. And I think Mr. Trump also said that Xi was an old friend of his. I think he meant it differently.
So it's a cautionary word. Gordon, now that they've had their summit, do you see another step added to this, or is this the payoff, the two calling each other friends?
I think that we're going to see that when Putin moves on Ukraine, China is going to become much more provocative. You know, people say, well, China's going to move on Taiwan. That's also possible, but it could be Philippines, Japan, India. Who knows? But we will see these two large aggressors move at the same time. If not in direct coordination, at least they're going to take advantage of the situation that the other creates.
Charles Burton, McDonnell Laurier Institute in Toronto, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill in the continental United States. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
One night, one goal, stop suicide. On June 4th, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk, the largest suicide prevention event in history. Join thousands as we journey over 16 miles from dusk till dawn for a night of hope and healing while raising funds and awareness for this important cause. Register today at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
This message is brought to you by Regeneron. If you have diabetes, listen closely, because your ears could help your eyes. Excess sugar from diabetes could lead to eye damage and vision loss, even blindness, and you might not even notice it at first. So remember, now is the time to get your eyes checked. Eye care is especially important with diabetes. See a path forward with actions and potential treatment options that may help your eyes and protect against vision loss. Go see an eye care specialist and visit nowiec.com to take charge of your eyesight. That is NOWEYESEE.com.